Once there was a civilization, much like ours, but with a greater intelligence, greater powers, and a greater capacity for good.
You've been raised as a human being. You are not one of them.
Hello, folks. Welcome to the Light of Day with your host, Sheldon Day, coming to you live on the Orion Talk Radio Network. We're live Saturday night, August 21st, 2010. Welcome to the Light of Day radio program. Well, no guests for tonight. Actually, I was been sort of burnt out. Sort of wanted someone else to do my show for me tonight, believe it or not. I sent an email out to a few people asking if they wanted to host my show tonight, but nobody answered to it, so here I am. Anyway, nice and hot and muggy here in the Sonora Desert. Our ultraviolet index is 10, which is pretty severe. I guess if you're outside for 15 minutes without protection from the sun, there's skin damage going on. We have a monsoon storm in the area. There's been a lot of heavy lightning, so if anything should happen here during the broadcast, you'll probably surmise what it is. We're 76 degrees here. Our dew point is 74, and our humidity is 92%, so we're nice and muggy. Wanted to wish the CEO of the network here, Jimmy, a happy birthday. He turns 50 tomorrow. That's what I heard Sean say on during Sean's show the last hour. So happy birthday to our boss here at Orion. I wanted to point out that my very close friend John DiNardo, my fellow Planet X research associate, he will be on John Moore's show tomorrow afternoon, so please be sure to tune in the John Moore show. And John DiNardo will also be a guest on R.J. Hender's The Morning Liberty Hour on RBN on the 24th. So you might want to jot that down on one of your calendars out there, folks. Well, during this first hour, I'm actually going to play some sound bites of David J. Smith talking about Planet X. This is actually taken from John DiNardo's Planet X audio drama CD number 6. And I went through a few of these and picked out the CD number 6 is really good. I do have it posted on my Archives Miscellaneous subpage, by the way, if anybody wants to re-listen to it or download any of these. But that's essentially what I'm going to do here in the first hour, and then in the second hour I'm going to be talking a lot about Earth changes that have been going on. I got some articles and emails from folks, especially Tonda. I appreciate all the emails I get from Tonda out there. and Margot and a few others. So, again, you're listening to Live Day with your host, Sheldon Day, coming to you live Saturday night, August 21st, 2010. So we're going to... going to get started with these sound bites. The breaks will be cutting in. I'll just have to keep playing them as we come out of the breaks. You know what, first, you know what, folks? Actually, first of all, I want to play something here that was on Fox News 2 mornings ago. Has to do with Michio Kaku. I think I'll bring that one up right away. Can't remember. Let's see. Yeah, I think it was either Margot or Tonda that sent me it. Articles entitled "Top Physicist Michio Kaku Says That Solar Flare Would Set Us Back 100 Years." So, well-known physicist Michio Kaku joins the Fox Business News Channel 2 mornings. Ago to discuss the probability of a serious solar flare event and what effects it may have on society. So here we go, folks. We got a warning again from Michio Kaku about solar blasting. I wonder if he knows more than he's letting on to his following. I'm just trying to interpret something here. Sometimes you get these acronyms in these articles, and you got to go searching what the acronym means. Otherwise, it just doesn't jive right when you're reading the god darn thing. But anyway, I'll just go to the soundbite here. This is Michio Kaku on, I think the Fox show was called Barney and Company, but we'll play that.
Should we be worried about increasing solar activity? Michio Kaku is here with one of the, well, he's obviously the professor. We all know him, a theoretical physics. He's also the host of the sci-fi science show on the Science Channel, which is based on his book, Physics of the Impossible. Professor, should we be worried about these flare-ups? When talking about this morning, we all kind of agreed it has that Y2K feeling, like it could happen. But if it doesn't, we're going to spend a lot of money for nothing.
Well, we had a wake-up call just 2 weeks ago. Giant auroras, northern lights as far as Michigan and Wisconsin. And that's a warm-up for 2012-2013 when we hit the sunspot cycle. Every 11 years, the North Pole and the South Pole of the sun flip, releasing a burst of radiation. But every 100 years or so, a monster tsunami from the sun emerges, which could literally cause trillions of dollars in property damage.
2012, that's a presidential election year. We need to keep that in mind. But if I'm walking around out there, as to whose fault it is, or at least the history, who they'll blame. So if I'm walking around, if I'm out sunbathing in a Speedo, will I look like Charles after about 5 minutes out there? Color, anyways. Obviously, I'm not going to look like Charles in a Speedo, but you know what I'm saying. I mean, is it going to really affect us like that?
I just went from bad to worse.
It could paralyze the economy of the planet Earth.
But not from a physical perspective.
Physical perspective, yeah. 1859, we had a gigantic solar storm which knocked out telegraph wires back then, 150 years ago. Yeah. If that had happened today, it would knock out almost all our satellites, knock out power stations. There would be food riots around the country because refrigeration would stop. Airplanes would probably crash without radar. It would paralyze the planet Earth. $2 trillion in property damage. And again, this is a once-in-a-century, once-in-two-century storm. The last one was 1859. But we do have them, and we have to worry about them.
That's a pretty high probability, once-in-two centuries.
Do we get a warning? I mean, is it like, hey, in 2 hours this happens, in 2 days this happens, in 2 weeks this happens? I mean, if the flare takes place, what kind of warning will we have to go to the other side of the Earth?
And who do you sue?
You have now put corporate America on notice. They are responsible for taking preparations. Go ahead, sir.
We have virtually no warning. It's like a giant earthquake. You can't predict giant earthquakes. They happen on a scale of once every 100, 200 years. That's what we have to worry about. We physicists have been telling Congress we have to reinforce our power stations. We have to have redundancy in our telecommunication systems, our satellites. Several of our satellites apparently have already been knocked out or at least disrupted because of solar flares. The space station has to worry about solar flares.
Folks, welcome back to the Live Day with your host Sheldon Day, coming to you live on the Orion Talk Radio Network, live Saturday night, August 21st, 2010, from the monsoon-stricken Sonora Desert in Tucson, Arizona. Okay, well, the break interrupted the Michio Kaku bite, so let's continue with that.
That's what we have to worry about. We physicists have been telling Congress we have to reinforce our power stations. We have to have redundancy in our telecommunication systems, our satellites. Several of our satellites apparently have already been knocked out or at least disrupted because of solar flares. The space station has to worry about solar flares. But a giant one, like I said, could wipe out power stations on the Earth, wipe out communications, the Internet, radar, airplane travel. It would be a mess. We'd be thrown back 100 years.
But are any steps being taken to, if God forbid this happens?
In Congress, there is a bill to pass a paltry $100 million. It's stalled in Congress right now. It's an insurance policy. It would cost very little to begin the process of reinforcing our transformers, power stations. And remember, this does happen even periodically. In 2003 in South Africa, 14 power stations were wiped out because a solar flare hit South Africa. In Canada, the city of Quebec was partially paralyzed, again, about 10, 15 years ago because of a solar flare. These things happen, but the monster one is the one that we physicists are worried about.
Before we let you go, Dr. Professor Kaku, how much would this cost to prevent a guesstimate? Because the president is really enamored with scientists, a lot more than his predecessor. It seems that you can get the message through to the president. And do you think it will? Do you think you can? And how much will it cost us?
Well, you know, as part of the stimulus package, this would be chump change to give us $100 million.
That's your
number. Just to reinforce power stations. Satellites will take more effort. We have to launch satellites that are reinforced to handle these things.
Do you have any connections with the White House personally?
Not personally, but
really?
I'm
really surprised that you haven't been invited there. You're like one of the top science guys in the country. This is just, it's frightening stuff, but it's also things that we should be aware of. And coming from you, you add a lot of credibility to it.
All right.
Thanks a lot, really.
Okay, folks, so there is a soundbite. By the way, I got this from Tonda here yesterday. This is posted on the Edge Alerts, the edge at webtv.net. This is posted on spaceweather.com. A coronal hole in the sun is turning the face to Earth. A stream of solar wind flowing from this coronal hole is expected to reach Earth on or about August 24th. So we may want to keep that in mind. Yeah, it's posted on spaceweather.com. I'm going to just open that up quick, and then we'll get to this David J. Smith stuff. With all these breaks, the David Smith stuff might go here till the bottom of the second hour. We'll just have to see how it progresses. X-ray solar flares are A's right now on the solar flare scale. Just checking here. The Earth-facing side of the sun is blank right now with no sunspots. Now, a coronal hole on the sun is turning to face the Earth. Coronal holes are places in the sun's atmosphere where the magnetic field opens up and allows solar wind to escape. And right now, folks, the solar wind is going 292 kilometers per second. Here's a magnetic map of the hole from NASA's Solar Dynamics Observatory, and it shows a graphic of that. High latitudes be alert for aurora is when the stream of solar wind arrives on the 24th or 25th. Well, I'm going to get to these David J. Smith sound bites because the time will be flying like crazy with all the brakes kicking in here. So get right to those. Here it is, folks. Please enjoy.
But suddenly the sixth seal is opened. It will affect every land area on Earth. No exception. It's called the Great Earthquake. Great. How great will it be? What will cause this earthquake? When will it happen? Will it affect Christians? What about those that are going to be protected from these things? Will it affect them? This will cause land shifts. The Earth rides on platelets. Yes, there will be activity in the land masses of this Earth. Volcanic activity. Islands that have been unparalleled since the days of Peleg when the Earth was divided. You can turn to Genesis chapter 10 and you can read verse 25, and it says the earth was divided in the days of Peleg. The word divided is number 6385 in the Strong's Concordance of the Hebrew language. It means split. The earth was split, the land masses in the days of Peleg. You look at Europe and Africa. Then you move the Atlantic Ocean out of the way, and you move North and South America over, and it looks like they fit together practically. The land masses were split in the days of Peleg. It affected every person on planet Earth. Australia broke loose. Islands rose out of the water. Other land masses sunk to the bottom of the ocean. Then suddenly, as if time stood still, in Revelation chapter 7, Revelation chapter 7, verse 1 to 4, here's what it says. And after these things, I saw four angels standing on the four corners of the earth, holding the four winds of the earth, that the wind should not blow on the earth, nor the sea, nor on any tree. And I saw another angel ascending from the east, having the seal of the living God. This is a seal directly from the true God that created everything. Saying, hurt not the earth, neither the sea, nor the trees, till we have sealed the servants of our God in their foreheads. And now we see all of a sudden, before the trumpets are open, but there is a great earthquake, and this diverts the attention. What is it that caused this earthquake that diverted the attention of the national leaders of this world? So that God would then set his mark in the forehead of these people that he talked about. It says they were to be kept as in preservation from something, by implication to keep secret, as if the rest of the world didn't even know you existed. As fencing in or protecting from misappropriation. So God has absolutely determined that he's going to keep a group of people from being misappropriated in the events that are about to come. He will preserve them alive.
We'll be back, folks. You're listening to The Light of Dan Orion. Stay tuned. Was one of my favorite music singers from the late 80s, Paula Abdul. She sure is a good-looking chick, too. Anyway, you're listening to Live Day with your host, Sheldon Day, coming to you live Saturday night, August 21st, 2010, on Orion. You know, John DiNardo's been on, he's been on so many shows here lately. I also wanted to point out that he was a guest on the Kevin Smith Show Wednesday. I can't remember now if it was Wednesday or Thursday night. But if you go to kevinsmithshow.com and you join the members area, you can retrieve that archive of Kevin Smith interviewing John DiNardo. Okay, well, back to the soundbite, folks.
He's going to keep a group of people from being misappropriated in the events that are about to come. He will preserve them alive. This great earthquake, the sixth seal, will only be the beginning of what scientists call extinction level events. We absolutely know from scientific excavation that great fur-bearing mammals have been discovered. They've been discovered encased in ice. They were quick frozen. Instantly, not over a period of hundreds or thousands of years, because they could have just trotted away. But it was instant, with tropical vegetation still unchewed in their mouth and undigested in their stomachs. Tropical vegetation. How could this be? How could it be? I mean, if you're in the North Pole and you're quick frozen, how are you going to have vegetation from the tropics in your mouth? In Matthew chapter 24, this will begin to give a whole new meaning to these two verses, verse 21, verse 22. For then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, known or shall ever be. We've always thought that meant nuclear weapons that could kill 50 Earths. It does. We always thought it meant chemical, biological agents that could kill another 100 Earths. It does. But is there something in addition to that that is so awful that is going to come upon this Earth? That except those days should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. People like you and me and others like us, whoever they are around the world with God's Holy Spirit, they keep the commandments because we are faithful and loyal in all of this. God has determined he's going to save this planet from this tribulation time. Could it be more than we've always thought? It could only happen if an outside heavenly body invaded the inner solar system and the gravitational pull of our Earth and Sun were affected by it. This invasion could come from an asteroid. It could come from a comet. But are they large enough? Some have hit the Earth, caused great damage. We know there were dinosaurs. Or could it be another heavenly body that the world has not even known that existed? But it does exist, and it has come into existence. And astronomers and so on have found it. Ancient astronomers knew that such a tenth planet that only circulates in our solar system approximately every 3,600 to 3,660 years exists. They had graphs in old times, even before the flood, the Sumerian people, population that died out with the flood. And so this planet, this tenth planet, is so large that when it comes from the outer depths of space, it comes through the Oort system, where there are comets and asteroids, and because it is five times larger than planet Earth, it drags with it certain very damaging things, asteroids, comets. But it only comes around once every 3,600 to 660 years. And in the days of Peleg, it came by and the continents were split. It says so, the word divided, they were split. NASA discovered, and were very excited about having found this, what they term Planet X. X is the Roman numeral for the number 10, meaning the 10th planet in the universe. They were very excited to discover it on December 31st, the year 1983. But suddenly, the chief scientist of the infrared astronomical satellite system that sent this thing into deep space, and they sent back pictures of it, and they released it to six of the top daily newspapers around the world. Suddenly, the government came in, started putting a lid on all this information. But now we find out, just on the week of January 7th, the year 2002, that all of a sudden they're squashing all of this information and keeping it from the public. They said that it was an asteroid when finally they began to admit that it was there. But now, in Newsweek magazine, they actually show it with a reflection. And so, the year 2002, January 7th, they finally admitted there is another planet. And it's heading toward the Earth. Between the Earth and between the Sun. And it will displace the gravity of the Sun temporarily as it passes by, just as it did in the days of Peleg. Only the largest controlled telescopes that have been controlled by the government for years have seen Planet X until, I just mentioned, they admitted that it is a real planet, January 7th, 2002. But they began to see it in 2001. It was easy to cover it up until then. But then, all of a sudden, in the year 2001, small to mid-level observatories, such as the Lowell Observatory in Arizona, one in South America, one in Switzerland, began to see that there was something there, and it was moving. And according to their calculations, it was heading toward our solar system because it had orbited out of our solar system. Occasionally, you would expect, with such an overwhelmingly important worldwide story, some of the details would be let out somewhere at some time. They have been. To be exact, it is our enemy since 1917 to 1919, international communism. The leaders of Russia have spilled the beans. Here's just one particular quote that came out over Reuters Press. That's like the AP and UPI Press here in America. This is the European Newswire Service. This was September 13th, the year 2000. I quote, anticipated chain of disasters due to hit. And then another one of the headlines was massive population shrinkage. They also wondered out loud, and it was recorded on microphone during one of their, what we would term in Britain, a parliamentary session or in a congressional session in the United States. It's a Politburo session in Russia. They even wondered if their nation would even exist anymore at all.
If you folks are wondering where that bite there is from, that's from the old high-flying TV adventure series Airwolf. I'm still an addict of the TV show Airwolf, so sometimes you'll hear me playing stuff from that. Broadcasting live Saturday night, August 21st, 2010. This is the Live Day Radio program with your host Sheldon Day on the Orion Talk Radio Network. I'm playing some David J. Smith sound bites from John DiNardo's audio drama CD number 6, and that's posted on my archives miscellaneous subpage if any of you folks want to check that out. We got a monsoon storm here in the area. I don't know how, I'm not outside, I haven't been watching it, but if anything should happen here, you folks can probably surmise what happened. We got some severe lightning and heavy rain. As a matter of fact, we're under a flood advisory for Pima County until 10:15. It expires in about 25 minutes from now. Anyway, I better get back to the soundbite here because the brakes are kicking in all the time. So please enjoy.
Government officials, you can be sure, can be trusted to protect none of us. They won't even release this information. They will not try to protect any of us, because they know they can't. But they started a mysterious building program underground in at least 129 underground facilities from one end of the country to the other has been completed. We always thought that it was in case of a nuclear weapon, but we found out that it's not. It's in case Planet X comes our way. We need to understand how and why and when the Earth's surface is going to change so abruptly, and it will fulfill in great detail every single item of the Bible, the scriptures that I'll show you. Some of this information came off the wire service of ABC News in the year 2000. Others of it came from BBC, talking about a planet beyond Pluto heading this way. There's absolutely nothing that anyone can do about it. They're actually talking that the population of this world could be reduced by 90%. Does that sound logical to anyone? God Almighty said, yes, it's logical that it will happen. Why would it be so important to be sealed? Because if 90% of the population is going to die when this planet comes into this atmosphere or into our orbital structure and all the planet begins to shift, whole land masses sink, others rise, we need to be accounted worthy because these events are going to be massive. No one that has lived in the last 3,600 years has experienced anything. And I will give you a scenario before I'm through as to what scientists and astronomers think that it will do to the Earth based upon what it did the last time this planet came by. The controllers of the media, I'm talking about the ones who are working for world government, who head up the money markets of the world, and the world's government leaders are very fully aware of what's about to happen. They're prepared. Keeping this story out of the major media was very important because it will, when it reaches the people's understanding, it will collapse the world's economy. People will quit working and say, well, what's the use? We're all doomed anyway. The stock markets will crash. Real estate prices will plummet and go to the bottom. You won't be able to give away anything. It'll cost the economy billions and trillions of dollars, and then it will cost millions and billions of lives on planet Earth. If what these scientists and astronomers are saying is correct. In 1983, Planet X, or the 10th planet, was spotted by the infrared astronomical satellite that was put up by NASA. And then there's been a complete blackout ever since concerning this particular event. X is now so close that they can't cover it up anymore. That's why the Newsweek for December 7th, the year 2002, showed it and for the first time admitted that it was another planet. First time in modern history, in the year 2001, sightings of Planet X were being openly reported. Three separate sightings from different locations on the planet reported it. The three observatories, one in South America, one in Switzerland, and one in Arizona. Here is only a report, just one of them from Lowell Observatory in Arizona. I quote, April 4th, 2001, that was a Wednesday. Quote, the operator described the object as diffuse and of approximate magnitude 11. They number the magnitude of stars and things that they see. Of course, planets only reflect light that is sent out by stars. And so it is. They recorded seeing it. And then this was confirmed from Switzerland. The Neuchâtel Observatory saw it February 7th, the year 2001. So they know it's coming. For the better part of the 20th century, this was starting way back in the 1930s, astronomers have noticed what they technically term perturbations. I looked that word up in the unabridged dictionary. It means irregularities or wobbling of planets. That is very interesting to me that it said wobbling of planets. But anyway, it says this has been in the outermost planetary area past Pluto, past Venus, not Venus, but Uranus and Neptune. Those are the three most distant planets, and all of them are now wobbling. And they came to the conclusion, even before they saw it, that something had such a strong magnetism or gravitational pull that it was causing these planets to wobble, irregularities in their rotation. So they knew that it had to be something out there, but it took time before they could actually see it. The modern telescopes that went out and probed the universe. But they have found archaeological evidence for a long time that there were shifts. They've actually found humans, their remains, animals that we call tropical animals. They have unearthed them in the last 10 years, since 1993, in the Arctic and the Antarctic. So they knew at one time the North and the South Pole did not. They were not the poles. They were tropics. How did it shift? And how did it become suddenly frozen? The only explanation is Planet X, that has an orbit that takes it between planet Earth and the Sun. When you turn back into ancient history and you put all the evidence in context, you will find that there have been past civilizations. We knew it before the flood. It became so evil that God brought the flood upon us.